Off the Ball. GAA.
I don't want this email. I don't want to see them at all. Whoever they face, they're going to be a proposition. Whether they have the mentality, they don't know there's a script.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line. Try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, the final one of the season. Rory O'Hagan from Off the Ball, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes, to look back on Munster's URC semi-final defeat to Glasgow Warriors, and we look back on the season as a whole as well, and we'll name our star of the season. First off, guys, how are you?
Oh, I'm still on a downer. That was the most depressing game I've ever watched. I was really up for it, looking forward to it. And I suppose the outcome, this was the one that I really felt like it was all going to come together. We were going to be living the dream in Limerick. But look, that's just the way rugby goes, isn't it? And Glasgow had their homework done. And they rattled them. But yes, I think I'm still disappointed. I'm just about coming around now on the Tuesday.
Yeah, I think that sums up all the feelings of every single Munster fan who watched that game on Saturday. Quinny, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, same as Fiona would say, disappointed. It's been an incredible run of winning 10 games, but probably we saw some warning signs in the last couple of weeks against Ulster and Ospreys, a little bit of fatigue, mental and physical maybe. But that's not taking anything away from Glasgow. They were outstanding. I know I probably say it every week with every team we play, and he always give out to me about being a bit pessimistic. But you know, when you saw the team come out from Glasgow on Friday, and the quality and the big game players that they had, and players who you knew were going to try and stand up physically. A lot of these guys start for Scotland every week. So they're international players. So I think they got their tactics right, which were simple at times. And the main tactic was be really physical, get into Munster's face and don't let them settle. It was disappointing. I wouldn't say they got Munster in any way would have got ahead of themselves. I know they haven't been accused of that, but
except for whoever made the sign, Quinny.
Yeah, I think just some people probably don't know about that. It was up on the big screen, Munster Bulls final next week. I think someone was preparing it, obviously, for after the game, and that's normal practice of probably, you know, being organised and ready to go at the final whistle, that you could stick that sign up, basically saying, get your tickets, final here next week. Unfortunately, I don't know how the technical side of that works, but somebody must have been on a laptop preparing that, and it sends the link to the big screen. So a little bit of egg in the face there. But look, I don't think even Glasgow people wouldn't have... I think people understand the reason it happened. It's human error, and it's not the whole organisation thinking we're in a final just because Leinster were beaten by the Bulls. So it was a disappointing one, but that's sport, unfortunately. And the good run came to an end, and it was an incredible run. So we'll talk about that. We'll have a quick chat about the whole season as a whole. Players can keep their heads held high, because it wasn't as if they didn't turn up and they were laboured and they were not making the effort. I thought they started the game superbly. Munster brought a great fight and energy, and just some of the moments, big moments, they either came up with an error or Glasgow just messed them up. Rory Darge had some brilliant turnovers in the game, and they put savage pressure on Munster throughout the game. So lacking a little bit of composure and control when they were doing a lot of good stuff well. Disappointing end to the season. Credit to Glasgow, that they were deserving winners, and that's the reality. It had that feeling in the second half that Munster were going to have to create something special, particularly when you kind of give up two tries that you'd be very disappointed with. I think the second one is brilliant pace and attack. But defensively, that's one that you'd look at the review and be very disappointed with. Jack Crowley kicks a drop off. It goes to the opposition 22, and then a minute later, you're under your post. it's frustrating. But 14 points was a lot of points in a very tight game.
Certainly was. We've got a lot of comments coming into us, a lot of disappointed Munster fans, Fiona, reaching out to the show this week.
Yeah, lots of coming in. Quinny's late night tweet, obviously everyone was still awake. They were fired in all night. But
I was surprised because I totally forgot about it. And it went out around 11:45 last night because there's a load of people. Maybe we're dealing with not a night owls. But there's a lot of stuff coming.
People still not sleeping over it, I'd say, is what was happening. People still stressed. But thanks to everyone for them. I'll read out as many as I can here, and Quinn, if you want to jump in on any of the points, a lot of the questions are kind of towards you, but I'll start with Dan Roberts. Do you think Munster have overplayed Crowley this year? He's played every minute he's been available this year for Munster. Is there a chance of burnout? I would have thought Joey would have started a couple of those games earlier on. Pat has Mike Prendergast wants us playing at a high tempo to create extra space. It's grand when everything is clicking, but we weren't on it. Too many passes knocked on or mistimed. So instead of applying pressure, created pressure on us. Maybe the Leinster result was in our heads. And he said a 7.5 out of 10 type of season. Dylan Kelly can say RG should have started, but they never looked at the races. Disappointing end to what have been a very, very, very long season. You'd have to think that it has an effect as well. No excuses, but they just look very flat. I could never get anything going. Jared O'Dwyer, it's a sad end for Zeebo, but there are the other players whose careers are over but still hang on at Munster. Time to hand the team over to the youth while we have the best ever coaching ticket. Trevor has plain obvious that RG isn't fit and hasn't been for a while. He's done now anyway. Frisch is a bigger loss. The result hurt. We let Glasgow far off the hook. It just isn't funny. Glasgow were, to coin a phrase, professionally effective. Why did the ref let the time wasting go on, especially with Glasgow's last penalty that was surely against the spirit of fair play in the laws? This time wasting has to be addressed by World Rugby. Stop the match clock for kicks. Seems the fair solution, but keep the kick clock. So many of these seasons, alas. And then the last one was, I'll throw this at you, was not starting Simon a mistake, do you think?
Hindsight's a great thing, isn't it? You have to make decisions as a coach as well. So we've seen how effective Munster have used their bench in the last 2-3 months and how important it has been and the difference it's made. I think the difficult part is that Thomas Ahern wasn't available, that he starts. Finian Witcherly hasn't a lot of rugby played. He's a very good player, but there's a difference, isn't there, between Snyman and the rest when he's fit. I don't think he's... I don't know if there's 80 minutes in RG Snyman as regards constantly being involved. He's not that type of a player. He's not a John Klein who's... You know, his game is based around work rate and clean outs and physicality and always been at the coal face, whereas RG is get the ball in his hands. And I know people were probably critical of the last offload. You know, it's just part, it summed up the day, really. RG does those offloads sometimes that send someone away, you know what I mean? I think John Ryan was probably just wasn't ready for it. And if John Ryan kind of holds on to the ball and gets close to the line and they score, well, then it's a great offload. So that's the way he plays and type of player he is. So should they have started him? Well, if you start him, then is he being effective in that second half? I think in very simple terms, the plan was try and, you know, send Finian Witcherly out there, who's a big work rate, he's a physical player, get this 50, 60 minutes out of him. And then if you're kind of winning, which was the problem, Munster weren't in front. Well, then if you're in opposition, you're thinking Jaeger's coming on, Coombs is coming on, Snyman is coming on, like this is only going to, and their effect lift the other players around them, lift the crowd and everything. So that was the reason. So I think the problem, you know, so I wouldn't change it now. But then somebody actually said to me yesterday, which to be fair, both sides have had an, you know, valid argument here. If you start him, it was a game that you wanted to be ahead on. You wanted to get on the scoreboard and start your best team, and then, you know, be ahead in the game, and the crowd will kind of lift you. But I don't know. I wouldn't go, oh God, RG Snyman should have started that game afterwards. I think that wasn't the reason. And it's not a criticism on him as well, because I know it personally. It takes a long time to get back to that match fitness, sharpness. And he's had so many breaks, you know, even after the World Cup, he was out for a period of time again with his chest, shoulder, 3 or 4 months again. So it's been so stop-start the last few years that he hasn't got to that level of, you know, really making an impact. So, no, I wouldn't have, I wouldn't just suddenly, because Munster lost the game, have said. And I'm very open to the fact that maybe if you did start him and Coombs and all those players and play your strongest team, maybe the result could have been different. I don't know.
Certainly so. Fiona, the BBC's match report had the headline, Glasgow out-Munstered Munster, treats the URC final. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think so. I hate reading it, but I think so. I think they got in their heads a little bit. Yes, I thought there was a lovely bit of niggle at the start of the game. I was really enjoying that with Peter O'Malley, Tupulato. They were all getting each other's faces. And, you know, you could get that kind of tense atmosphere. But I think how Glasgow approached the game away from home, how they slowed things down, how they worked the referee as well. I thought they done it brilliantly in the second half. They seemed to control him a little bit better. And just how they really, really went after that breakdown and got in Munster's faces. I thought it was superb, their handling. Yes, I think Quinny alluded to it early as well. They had two, you have to score tries for that to work as well. And they got the rub of the green with that. But that was caused by their pressure coming up in Munster's faces, getting their force in Munster make those passes and in turn having Munster errors. So yes, I think they definitely done a perfect job away from home on this Munster team. And they said it, they knew, I think, when Quinny was saying that sign as well, they talked about that. They saw that before the game in the warm-up, and they were able to bring that into that speech and get these guys, get their team going. And you could see it when they came out. They were focusing on one thing. Yes, they have their own game plan and how they approach the game and attack, but defensively it was go after Munster, and I think it worked as well.
Quinny, I suppose two key moments of the game were the two yellow cards for Glasgow that Munster just didn't capitalise on. I suppose that's they're two huge moments in the game, or two huge segments of the game. If Munster can't capitalise against 14 players, then you're up against it.
Yeah, and usually you see them punishing the opposition teams. They're quite good at that. And going on to the comments, the question you asked Fiona there about Glasgow out Munster. You know, Munster would be renowned for being, you know, dogged, aggressive, intense, in your face. And that's kind of, you know, going back to when I played, that's part and parcel of the DNA that you would like to see players in a Munster jersey, big work rate. Scotland in particular have been questioned a lot about very up and down, a lot of promise when they play in Six Nations, World Cups for the last number of years. A lot of these players would have been questioned about their mentality and to be able to bring that intensity and that real fight, coupled with the rivalry between Glasgow and Munster going back to, you know, 10 years, it kind of heated up a little bit. So they brought an intensity which worked for them, a verbal side of that as well, where they were kind of standing right up to Munster players, and it worked for them. And I think it kind of nearly galvanized them when Richie Gray is off and Fagerson is off, in a sense that, and I think Munster, they got very narrow in attack. And, you know, again, you have to give Glasgow credit for this. They kept their brilliant line speed and their aggressive nature around the breakdown. So Munster didn't really settle, and they panicked a little bit at times, and just some errors, handling errors. The first try for Kyle Steyn, like, is just a very simple error in the midfield, and it's been a little bit sloppy. You can't give someone like that, he's a quality player, that kind of opportunity. And I mentioned at the start, the second try, when you get a drop goal, that a drop out from behind your own goal, and it goes that long, the last thing you want to do is arrowhead in on the the possible ball carrier, you've got to make sure your spacing is right. You're connected with players inside and outside. But Munster didn't expect Tom Jordan to run across the field and feed Hugh Jones. And I think John Hodnett comes up in an up and in angle, and there's a gap in the line then. And then Sean O'Brien gets exposed on the outside, which is difficult for him because there's a massive space there and Hugh Jones makes the break. So those moments were really key and crucial in a very tight game, as I said. And also, you know, Munster, just when they got to the end product, they lost the ball or they were turned over and they couldn't build that sustainable pressure in that Glasgow 22, particularly when the two players are off the field. So 20 minutes with 14 men. And it just was one of those days where it just broke down at the end. Frisch's try, that's probably it's a brilliant try. It's a brilliant score. And it ignited the crowd and lifted them. And you think, that's it. That's what we've seen from Munster, that real pace and quality to clean out, moving it away from the breakdown, players just running onto it really well, and cohesiveness that wasn't there. And at times, and I keep saying it, Glasgow didn't allow that to be there at times. And then, you know, Munster weren't able to cope with that pressure. So yeah, even down to 14 men, it was frustrating that they couldn't get a foothold close to that Glasgow line.
John, I've seen quite a few people suggest that Munster looked tired at the weekend. Yeah. And I suppose considering their schedule over the last couple of weeks, it's no surprise really.
Yeah, look, and you think when you come to finals rugby that, you know, you get that extra kick, especially with their rivalry and how the game started. There was a lot of sparks there, but I definitely noticed, and one area of the field where I would have really noticed it, as Quinny said, sometimes when the ball was kicked long and you have that kind of wide out camera, I was looking at the going, because I watched it on telly, I was looking at the screen going, where are the Munster players? They weren't coming up as quick as we'd seen them in previous, cutting down that space. Yes, Quinny said, for that they are headed in, but you normally would get up, and their basic thing is to get up so fast and connect while you're coming up, and I just didn't see it at times. When things were going against them, especially in the second half, we'll probably touch on it again, but Nankerville red card, that's sheer tiredness to me. It's almost like you make these mistakes, your body is so tired. He'd gone off for HIA's back end. They were fighting to stay in this game, and you do stuff like that. And there was a lot of errors around the breakdown because of that, be it they weren't connected, they were missing clear outs, slower to get there. It was just one of those games where you could see it in the players' legs. And I know they've been at home the couple of weeks before that, but if you think about the amount of rugby that's been played, especially with from when the season started, the World Cup, a lot of players, I mean, a couple of tweets have spoke about Jack Crowdy playing so much rugby as well. It was coming to that wind down. Of the season, and I suppose when you're not getting on top of these teams, when there isn't, you know, tries scored, sometimes your body starts to slow down, and I could definitely see it. Even I suppose when the bench came on, we've seen what the impacts they've had in previous games, and I just didn't see the same amount of impact. And that's credit to Glasgow; they were brilliant in control in that, but there was no one absolutely had it in the tank. And even if you look at the performances throughout the whole game, the likes of Hodnett, he had absolute moments of brilliance. His work rate was immense. But there was times when I looked at him, Snyman, when he came on, Crowley at different times, and they just looked slow getting up the ground. And that's always a key indicator for me. When someone makes a tackle, you bounce up into the line towards the end of the game, they were hanging off tackles and a little bit slower. And that's just sheer tiredness, I think. It creeps into the mind then and the body.
Do you want to mention the red card there, Quinny? Any issues with it?
I thought at the time that, you know, it's a reaction thing really, isn't it? And it's out of frustration. But I thought it was harsh enough red card, to be honest. It could have been a yellow and maybe it would have been upgraded. I think it's between a yellow and a red, if you know what I mean. It's not a definite red that you go, that's a red card. I think he gets under George Horn initially, but there is a little bit of contact. It didn't really have any. I think the only different effect it would have had is if Munster scored near the end and it went to extra time. That could have cost them then, but look, it's a frustrating one from Alex Nankerville. To say the least.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. So listen to the full episode where we look back on the season even more and we name our star of the season. You can become an Off the Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off the Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.